Ladies and gentlemen, at the same time, I'll try to speak about the European approach concerning the defamation of public figures and the Hungarian legal regulation that can be done this way, that which means I will talk about the intersection between the European Court of Human Rights jurisprudence in this regard and the Hungarian cases decided by the ECTHR. That can teach us something about our own legal regulation as well as on the European Court's very rich and diverse case law. This is the well-known Article 10, just to make things sure, which protects freedom of expression and which in the second paragraph allows the restriction of freedom of speech for the protection of the reputation or rights of others, which was decided, it was a seminal case in 1986, the first major case, first major defamation case decided by the European Court. And that decision said, the Lingens versus Austria case, that the courts, national courts, should differentiate between the protection of reputational rights of public figures and private persons. So the decision said that the requirements of such protection have to be weighed in relation to the interest of open discussion of political issues. That's the starting point of the ECTHR jurisprudence, and which became very rich and diverse in the last almost three decades. The case law generally in this regard is very rich, very stable. It ensures broad protection of debates about public issues, not only in issues concerning or involving public figures, but public issues generally, though the status of the defamed party also remains significant. So the court differentiates between the different public figures, like a prime minister or a policeman or a judge. And the case law also distinguishes between the statements of facts and expressions of opinions. Basically, generally gives a broader protection to the latter. Opinions are obviously free, and it's really in extreme cases where that can be restricted, whereas sometimes in some circumstances, even false statements of fact can be protected as well. I want to talk about four cases decided by the ECTHR, four cases involving Hungary. All of them were decided in the last decade, and all of them teaches us something. The first, the Keller versus Hungary case, it's a case where we can see how different tests apply to factual statements and value judgments. In this case, the applicant, who was a PM, a member of parliament that time, questioned the prime minister, who that time was the prime minister we have now, the present prime minister, Viktor Orban, on a suggested connection between the government and extreme right groups or organizations. That question was in the parliament, in a parliamentary session. The prime minister said in his answer that he was not aware of any such connection. Then the applicant said that maybe this lack of information, for this lack of information was that the father of the minister responsible for overseeing the secret services, that was Ervin Demeter at that time, so the father of this minister was a member of an extreme right group. So this minister initiated a civil lawsuit as the applicant had alleged that he had abused his official power. The applicant was unable to prove that this statement was true. So basically the Hungarian court said that the minister's personality rights had been violated. Then the ECTHR said when the applicant took this case to Strasbourg that this application was inadmissible because what had been said in the parliament was a statement of fact, had been injurious to the reputation of the minister, And without any sufficient proofs, it had no factual basis. So in some sense, that was an easy case. The second one was a bit more complex. That's the Kossuth versus Hungary case, quite recent case. It's on the important point in that decision is how the Strasbourg court tried to classify a certain allegation as a statement of fact or as expression of opinion. There was a heated public debate 10, 15 years ago whether a statue should be erected to Teleki Pál, who was thrice prime minister in the Horthy era. He's a controversial historical figure. And the applicant, a well-known historian, said that all the articles and studies published in different papers and books praising Teleki show him in a favorable light, had appeared in extreme right-wing publications, and these publications are all lies, basically, or slanders. So he, that's an exact quotation of the article written by the applicant. He refers to a specific historian, Balint Török, and basically said that this historian keep lying, keep slandering, keeps inciting against and bashing the Jews, which is very difficult to translate it in English. That's why I put the Hungarian word in it. It's a special Hungarian word. And then afterwards, Balint Török filed a lawsuit, the author named in the article. And the court established the violation of his reputation because the Hungarian court considered this publication to be a factual statement and without any sufficient proof. So as regards the expression bashing the Jews, the court said that Kossai just violated the reputation of Török. Then the case was taken to Strasbourg, where the Strasbourg court decided that there was a violation of Article 10. It said that exaggerations or even provocative statements are acceptable in public debates. And he said that the court said that the use of the term Jew bashing is an opinion rather than a statement of fact. And as an opinion, it had some certain factual basis, so it cannot be restricted by the Hungarian courts. The applicant's argument was basically in the paper published in Hungary, in the article published in Hungary, that all apologies for a politician widely known to have had anti-Semitic convictions constitutes the trivialization of his racist policies, and that's why even indirectly can reasonably be considered to be a Jew bashing or labeled as a Jew bashing. It's neither excessive nor devoid of factual basis. That's what the ECTHR said in this case. We can criticize, obviously, the decision of the European Court. For me, it doesn't seem very unreasonable to classify this content, this expression, as a statement of fact, which is unproven. And the question is, where does the state court's margin of appreciation end in this regard? To put it another way, does the European Court of Human Rights have the right to overrule national courts and change the classification of a certain content? That is a very important question. In the papers, in the articles published by Török, he hadn't published any direct anti-Semitic statements whatsoever, and he avoided to publish his writings in extreme right-wing papers, though basically they were published in mainstream papers or journals. Though that is for sure that he was protecting a controversial politician. The question is, after this decision, it's whether saying that somebody is a Nazi or racist or xenophobe, which is for sure an opinion, is it different from saying that the person engages in Jew bashing, which means committing certain concrete acts against minorities or against any other groups in the society. There is a principle in law that in historical debate courts are not no referees, so they cannot decide scientific questions and historical questions. In this case, the European Court probably indirectly took a stand in this dispute by summarizing the information on Teleki's historical role. That happened in a footnote, which provided a few information on Teleki's historical achievements or historical role, which did not show him in a favorable light, so which was not a neutral assessment of Teleki's historical role as a prime minister. So one can have the feeling that the court took a stand in this dispute. There's a very famous case which in a way contradicts to the with the Kossai versus Hungary case. There's the Wabler versus Austria case back in 2000, where the applicant, a former member of parliament in Austria, accused the newspaper of Nazi journalism. What happened before that, that was the applicant was present at a public demonstration, and at the demonstration he scratched the policeman with his nails. And the policeman was terrified by this act, and the policeman was afraid of being called AIDS, or having called AIDS, and the Kronen Zeitung, a famous Austrian tabloid paper, ran this story. And then Wabler said that that was proper Nazi journalism. The Strasbourg court said that the applicant's outrage does not justify the analogy with Nazi journalism. And the court, that's an exact quotation, the court had particular regard to the special stigma which attaches to activities inspired by National Socialist ideas. That we know a lot about these stigmas in Hungary as well. And another important feature was the of the publication was that it was published a few days after the event, so it was not an immediate reaction, which maybe can receive a broader protection. The third case, Uy versus Hungary, more or less an easy case again. The personality rights of legal persons. There was a well-known Hungarian journalist who published about an article about the quality of a product of a wine trading company. Not the wine, Tokaj wine region altogether, but one specific company. And basically he said that the quality of the product was poor and its popularity was unjustified. I quoted the most important part from the article, and the most important three words are there. Hungarians drink this shit with pride, even devotion. So that was a huge scandal afterwards. The wine trading company just initiated lawsuits and criminal defamation proceeding. The criminal court established that the harming of the company is honor, which means that in the Hungarian legal regulation, the protection of reputation or protection of good name can be executed by, the violations can be executed by statements of facts which are untrue, whereas harming the honor can be materialized through the expressions of opinions. So that happened in this case, that was an opinion for sure, but it was excessive and a violation of the honor of the company, which was a state-owned company. That was also a very important feature of the case. And in one sentence, the court also speaks of a violation of the dignity of the company, which sounded a bit strange even back then. And the ECTHR made its decision, basically establishing a violation of Article 10. They said that this article was part of a public debate. Free speech allows the publication of exaggerated, injurious, shocking, offensive, excessive opinions as well. And a company, a legal person, especially a state-owned legal person, does not have in protecting its reputational rights or personality rights, this protection cannot have a moral dimension, so no human dignity to legal persons. That is an important achievement by the Strasbourg court. Now here we are, the fourth case. It's quite recent, decided by the Strasbourg court in December 2013. The Ungvári case, Ungvári and Irodalom Kft. Versus Hungary. It's also about defect, opinion, distinction, and the freedom to publish false facts. The applicant is also a well-known historian. Applicant's article is concerned with the actions of the State Security Service against the student peace movement back in the 80s, the last decade of the communist dictatorship at the university. The person who was attacked in this article was a deputy secretary of the local Communist Party committee, still an active public figure. And the article basically said that this deputy secretary has done a lot just to suppress this peace movement. So in the end, he just fired a criminal complaint. He started a criminal procedure as well and launched two different civil lawsuits, one for retraction, press correction procedure, and one for the protection of his personality, his reputation, and good name. I made a table which is quite complex because I also put the most important allegations in the article. There's five of them. The article said that the deputy party secretary. His conduct wholly qualifies as the work of a secret security agent. And he said the article said that he maintained a regular and obviously collegial relationship with the organs of state security, often proactively meeting their expectations. He, as an official contact, had been a diligent informant and proponent of hardline party policies and so on. The interesting thing is that there were six different court decisions, in this case, three civil court decisions and three criminal law decisions. And the courts just classified this content, these allegations, very differently. So basically, the final civil court decision established that these were factual allegations, statements of fact, which were untrue, which couldn't be proven. So that was a violation of personality rights. And the final criminal court decision said that these were only expressions of opinions with some factual basis. So basically, these were all protected speech. So in the end, the applicant was acquitted in the criminal procedure, but the civil court established the violation of reputational rights. And this latter decision was taken to the Strasbourg court, or taken to Strasbourg, and decided by the ECTHR, basically establishing that there was a violation of Article 10. That was a very interesting reasoning in the decision. The court says that it does not dispute the decision of the Hungarian courts about the classification of the contents. So the Strasbourg court agreed that these statements were statements of facts. But he also agreed that the applicant had exceeded the limits of journalism, scholarship, and public debate. And now the Hungarian court should have interpreted the disputed passages of the text in conjunction with the entire article. So the contextual analysis of the article is of utmost importance in this case. And the applicant's undeniably offensive and exaggerated statements were made within a broader context of presenting the operation of the system, of the mechanism of the communist dictatorship. So they are protected speech. And accuracy expected of a journalist or a historian is not the same as the accuracy expected from a criminal court when establishing the facts or the background of a publication. We can also criticize this decision. The article contained factual allegations, untrue or false factual allegations, but still the court decided that the context and the public interest in the publication is more important. So basically gave a legal protection to untrue or false factual statements without giving very deep and detailed reasoning for this. Time has run out, so I had to conclude. First, what we are told by the ECTHR that companies are no humans, so no human dignity for legal persons. Then the fact opinion distinction is important in the European level, at the European level as well. Shocking, offensive, disturbing opinions are protected in public debates, but there can be certain limits to this protection. The protection of false factual statements, which is a well-established doctrine in the U.S. defamation law, is still quite an unsettled idea in Europe, with a bit of a shaky foundation. And the possibility of the ECTHR, the powers of the ECTHR to overrule the establishment of the facts of the case done by the state courts is also uncertain in some sense. So thank you very much for your attention.